This module has been developed by the Michigan State University Center for International Business Education and Research. The following content for this module was taken from the book A Basic Guide to Exporting, a product of the U.S. Commercial Service. This module was created in cooperation with the U.S. Commercial Service and the Michigan State University Center for International Business Education and Research. To view the full-text version of each slide, click the Slide Notes tab in the upper left-hand corner, below the MSU Cyber logo. You may pause the presentation any time by pressing the pause button below the slide. The glossary for this module is accessible via the glossary tab at the top right corner. This module was last modified on August 25th, 2017. In this module, we will cover the following topics: export regulations, custom bonded warehouses, intellectual property considerations, and international agreements. Section 1, Export Regulations. The United States has an established policy of opposing restrictive trade practices or boycotts fostered or imposed by foreign countries against other countries friendly to the United States. This policy is implemented through the anti-boycott provisions of the Export Administration Act and through a 1977 amendment to the Tax Reform Act of 1976. In general, these laws prohibit U.S. persons from participating in foreign boycotts or taking actions that further or support such boycotts. The anti-boycott regulations carry out this general purpose by prohibiting U.S. agencies or persons from refusing to do business with blacklisted firms and boycotted friendly countries pursuant to foreign boycott demands, prohibiting U.S. persons from discriminating against or agreeing to discriminate against other U.S. persons on the basis of race, religion, gender, or national origin in order to comply with a foreign boycott, prohibiting U.S. citizens from furnishing information about business relationships with boycotted friendly foreign countries or blacklisted countries in response to boycott requirements, providing for public disclosure of requests to comply with foreign boycotts, requiring U.S. persons who receive requests to comply with foreign boycotts to report receipt of the request to the U.S. Department of Commerce, and to disclose publicly whether they have complied with such requests. To help ensure that U.S. exports go only to legally authorized destinations, the U.S. government requires a destination control statement on shipping documents. The commercial invoice and bill of lading for nearly all commercial shipments leaving the United States must display a statement notifying the carrier and all foreign parties that the U.S. material has been approved for export only to certain destinations and may not be diverted. The minimum anti-diversion statement for goods exported under U.S. Department of Commerce authority says, "These commodities, technology, or software were exported from the United States in accordance with the Export Administrative Regulations. Diversion contrary to the U.S. law is prohibited. Advice on the appropriate statement to use can be provided by the U.S. Department of Commerce, an attorney, or the freight forwarder." The Export Administration Regulations govern the export and re-export of items for reasons of national security, non-proliferation, foreign policy, and short supply. A relatively small percentage of exports and re-exports require the submission of a license application to the U.S. Department of Commerce's Bureau of Industry and Security. Licensing is dependent on an item's technical characteristics, destination, end use, and end user. Once a classification has been determined, exporters may use a single chart set forth in the EAR to decide whether a license is needed to export to a particular country. The regulations include answers to frequently asked questions, detailed step-by-step instructions for finding out whether a transaction is subject to the regulations, instructions for requesting a commodity classification or advisory opinion, and directions for applying for a license. If you have questions about whether your products require a license, call your local U.S. Commercial Service office or 800-USA-TRADE. Import documentation requirements and other regulations imposed by foreign governments vary from country to country. As an exporter, you must be aware of the regulations that apply to your own operations and transactions. For instance, many governments require consular invoices, certificates of inspection, health certification, and various other documents. Under the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, it is unlawful for a U.S. person or firm to offer, pay, or promise to pay money or anything of value to any foreign official for the purpose of obtaining or retaining business. It is also unlawful to make a payment to any person while knowing that all or a portion of the payment will be offered, given, or promised directly or indirectly to any foreign official for the purpose of assisting the firm in obtaining or retaining business. Knowing includes the concepts of conscious disregard and willful blindness. The FCPA also covers foreign persons or a firm that commits acts, in furtherance of such bribery in the territory of the United States. U.S. persons or firms or covered foreign persons or firms should consult an attorney when confronted with FCPA issues. For more information from the U.S. Department of Justice about the FCPA and the FCPA opinion procedure, visit the link available on the slide. Although the U.S. Department of Commerce has no enforcement role with respect to the FCPA, it supplies general guidance to U.S. exporters who have questions about the law and about international developments concerning it. For further information, contact the Office of Chief Consul for International Commerce at 202-482-0937 or visit the link provided on the slide. As an exporter, your company should also consider the customs privileges of U.S. foreign trade zones. These zones are domestic U.S. sites that are considered outside U.S. customs territories and are available for activities that might otherwise be carried on overseas for customs reasons. For export operations, the zones provide accelerated export status for purposes of excise tax rebates. There is no issue of drawback because duties are not collected when the goods are in the FTZ. For import and re-export activities, no customs duties, federal excise tax, or state or local ad valorem taxes are charged on foreign goods moved into FTZs, unless and until the goods or products made from them are moved into U.S. customs territory. Thus, FTZs can be profitable for operations involving foreign dutiable materials and components being assembled or produced here for re-export. Also, no quota restrictions ordinarily apply to export activity. As of January 2014, there were more than 200 approved FTZs in communities throughout the United States. These facilities are available for operation involving storage, repacking, inspection, exhibition, assembly, manufacturing, and other processing. The value of merchandise handled by FTZs exceeds $640 billion. Additional details as of February 2014 can be found at the link available on the slide. To encourage and facilitate international trade, countries all over the world have established export processing zones of many types, including free trade zones, special economic zones, bonded warehouses, free ports, and custom zones. EPZs have evolved from initial assembly and simple processing activities to encompass high-tech and science parks, finance zones, logistics centers, and even tourist resorts now. They include not only general type zones, but also single industry zones and single commodity zones. Both the number of EPZs and the number of countries hosting them have expanded rapidly. There are now more than 600 EPZs in more than 100 countries. Many U.S. manufacturers and their distributors use these zones for receiving shipments of goods that are reshipped in smaller lots to customers throughout the surrounding areas. For more information, contact your local U.S. Commercial Service Office or call 800-USA-TRADE. Section 2. Custom Bonded Warehouses. A customs bonded warehouse is a building or other secured area in which dutiable goods may be stored, may be manipulated, or may undergo manufacturing operations without payment of duty. Authority for establishing bonded storage warehouses is set forth in Title 19 United States Code, Section 1555. Bonded manufacturing and smelting and refining warehouses are established under Title 19, Sections 1311 and 1312. When goods enter a bonded warehouse, the importer and warehouse proprietor incur financial and legal liability under a bond. The liability is canceled when goods are exported, withdrawn for supplies to a vessel or aircraft in international traffic, destroyed under U.S. Customs supervision, or withdrawn for consumption within the United States after payment of duty. Your company could enjoy several advantages by using a bonded warehouse. No duty is collected until merchandise is withdrawn for consumption. An importer has control over use of money until the duty is paid on withdrawal of merchandise from the bonded warehouse. If no domestic buyer is found for the imported articles, the importing company can sell merchandise for exportation, thereby canceling the importer's obligation to pay duty. Many items subject to quota or other restrictions may be stored in a bonded warehouse. Check with the nearest U.S. Customs Office, however, before placing such merchandise in a bonded warehouse. Duties owed on articles that have been manipulated are determined at the time of withdrawal from the bonded warehouse. Section 3. Intellectual Property Considerations. A patent is an exclusive right granted for an invention, which is a product or process that provides, in general, a new way of doing something, or offers a new technical solution to a problem. For an invention to be patentable, it must fulfill certain conditions. A patent provides protection for the invention of the owner of the patent. The protection is granted for a limited period of time, generally 20 years. Patent protection means that the invention cannot be commercially made, used, distributed, or sold without the patent owner's consent. These patent rights are usually enforced in a court, which in most systems holds the authority to stop patent infringement. Conversely, a court can also declare a patent invalid upon a successful challenge by a third party. A patent owner has the right to decide who may or may not use the patented invention for the period in which the invention is protected. The patent owner may give permission to, or license other parties to use the invention on mutually agreed terms. The owner may also sell the right to the invention to someone else, who will then become the new owner of the patent. Once a patent has expired, the protection ends, and an invention enters the public domain. That is, the owner no longer holds exclusive rights to the invention, which becomes available to others for commercial exploitation. Patents provide incentives to individuals by offering them both recognition for their creativity and a material reward for their marketable inventions. These incentives encourage innovation, which contributes to the continuous enhancement of the quality of human life. Patented inventions pervade every aspect of life. Patented technologies range from lighting and plastic to ballpoint pens and microprocessors. In return for patent protection, all patent owners are obliged to publicly disclose information on their invention in order to enrich the total body of technical knowledge in the world. The continuously increasing body of public knowledge, in turn, promotes further creativity and innovation among others. In this way, patents provide not only protection for the owner, but valuable information and inspiration for future generations of researchers and inventors. The first step in securing a patent is the filing of a patent application. This document, which generally contains the title of the invention, as well as an indication of its technical field, includes the background and a description of the invention, provided in clear language with enough detail to allow an individual with an average understanding of the field to use or reproduce the invention. Such descriptions are usually accompanied by visual materials, such as drawings, plans, or diagrams, to better describe the invention. The application also contains various claims, that is, information that determines the extent of protection granted by the patent. To achieve patent protection, an invention must generally be of practical use and must show an element of novelty, some new characteristic not known in the body of existing knowledge in its technical field. The invention must also show an inventive step. Finally, its subject matter must be accepted as patentable under law. In many countries, examples of non-patentable inventions are scientific theories, mathematical methods, plant or animal varieties, discoveries of natural substances, commercial methods, or methods for medical treatment. A patent is granted by a national patent office, or by a regional office that does the work for a number of countries, such as the European Patent Office and the African Regional Intellectual Property Organization. Under such regional systems, an applicant requests protection for the invention in one or more countries, and each country decides whether to offer patent protection within its borders. The WIPO-administered Patent Cooperation Treaty provides for the filing of a single international patent application, which has the same effect as national applications filed in the designated countries. An applicant seeking protection may file one application and request protection in as many signatory states as needed. At present, no world patents or international patents exist. In general, an application for a patent must be filed, and a patent will be granted and enforced in each country in which you seek patent protection for your invention, in accordance with its national law. In some regions, a regional patent office accepts regional patent applications or grants patents, which have the same effect as patent applications filed or patents granted in the member states of that region. Further, any national or resident of a contracting state of the PCT may file an international application under the PCT. A single international patent application has the same effect as national applications filed in each designated contracting state of the treaty. However, under the PCT system, in order to obtain patent protection in the designated states, a patent shall be granted by each designated state to the claimed invention contained in the international application. Further information concerning the PCT is available. Procedural and substantive requirements for the grant of patents, as well as the amount of fees required, differ from one country or region to another. It is therefore recommended that you consult either a practicing lawyer who specializes in intellectual property or the IP offices of the country in which you would like to secure protection. A list of URLs and a directory of national and regional intellectual property offices are available from WIPO. To assist people in searching patent applications and granted patents, some national or regional patent offices provide free-of-charge electronic databases via the internet. A list of URLs of such databases is available from WIPO, which also provides access in image format to a comprehensive electronic database covering published international patent applications filed under the PCT system from 1978 to the present day. In addition, WIPO provides access to fully searchable text of descriptions and claims for PCT international applications filed since July 1998, Where web-based databases are not available, patent information may be found in paper documents on microfilms or CD-ROMs or at the national or regional patent offices. Searchable internet patent databases have significantly facilitated access to patent information. However, given the complexity of patent documents and the technical and legal skills required to use them, it is advisable to contact a professional patent attorney to execute a high-quality patent search. WIPL Patent Information Services provides free-of-charge services for users in developing countries who wish to obtain technical search results in relation to their inventions. The collection of laws for electronic access provides easy access to intellectual property legislation from a wide range of countries and regions, as well as to treaties on intellectual property administered by WIPO. Many national or regional patent offices provide information concerning national or regional legislation on their websites. WIPO makes available a list of URLs of national and regional intellectual property offices. Procedural and substantive requirements for the granting of patents differ from one country or region to the next. In particular, practices and case law regarding the patentability of software-related inventions vary significantly across countries. For example, in some countries, inventions within the meaning of a patent law must have a technical character and software, as such is not considered a patentable invention. In other countries, however, such requirements do not exist, and thus software is generally patentable subject matter. It is therefore recommended that you consult a practicing lawyer who specializes in intellectual property or the IP offices of countries in which you wish to obtain protection. WIPO makes available a list of URLs and a directory of national and regional intellectual property offices. On the other hand, computer programs may be protected under copyright. However, according to a well-established principle, copyright protection extends only to expressions, not to ideas, procedures, methods of operation, or mathematical concepts as such. It is important to file a patent application before you publicly disclose the details of your invention. In general, any invention that is made public before an application has been filed would be considered prior art. In countries that apply the foregoing definition of prior art, the applicant's public disclosure of the invention before filing a patent application would prevent him or her from obtaining a valid patent for that invention, since the novelty requirement would not have been met. Some countries, however, allow for a grace period, which provides a safeguard for applicants who disclose their invention before filing a patent application, and the novelty criterion may be interpreted differently depending on the applicable law. If, for example, you must disclose your invention to a potential investor or a business partner prior to filing a patent application, that disclosure should be accompanied by a confidentiality agreement. Patent applications and supporting documentation can be filed online with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. To get started, visit the link available on the slide. The Madrid Protocol provides a vehicle for applying for protection in multiple countries that are signatories to the protocol by filing one application and paying one fee in one national security. For information on the Madrid Protocol and how to file, visit the link available on the slide. The Global Intellectual Property Academy provides training programs in multilateral and country-specific contexts. For more information, go to the link available on the slide. The wait in the United States is about 36 months. Government officials have stated that this length of time is unacceptable, and efforts are underway to reform the process and reduce wait times. Meanwhile, inventors must make do with a patent-pending designation. A number of U.S. government agencies have joined forces to investigate and prosecute IP theft. For more information, visit www.stopfakes.gov. Intellectual property refers to a broad collection of rights relating to works of authorship, which are protected under copyright law. Inventions, which are protected under patent law, marks, which are protected by trademark law, and designs and trade secrets. No international treaty completely defines these types of intellectual property, and countries' laws differ in significant respects. National intellectual property laws create, confirm, or regulate a property right, without which others could use or copy a trade secret, an expression, a design, or a product, or its mark and packaging. The rights granted by a U.S. patent, trademark registration, copyright, or mask work registration extend only throughout the United States. They confer no protection on your company's product in a foreign country. There is no such thing as an international patent, trademark, or copyright. Copyright protection depends on national laws, but registration is typically not required. There is no real shortcut to worldwide protection of intellectual property. However, some advantages and minimum standards for the protection and enforcement of intellectual property exist under treaties or other international agreements. Section 4. International Agreements. The United States abides by international copyright regulations, which are governed principally by the Berne Convention for the Protection of Literary and Artistic Works, to which about 160 other nations adhere. The United States is also a member of the Universal Copyright Convention, and has special bilateral relations with a number of foreign countries. Under the Berne Convention, works created by a national of a Berne Union country, or works first or simultaneously published in a Berne country, are automatically eligible for protection in every other country of the Berne Union, without registration or compliance with any other formality of law. These rules hold true of works first published in the United States on or after March 1, 1989, the date on which the United States acceded to the Berne Convention. Works first published before March 1989 were protected in many countries under the UCC if the works were published with the formalities specified in that convention. Older works may also be protected as a consequence of simultaneous publication in a Berne country or by virtue of bilateral obligations. In any event, the requirements and protection vary from country to country. You should investigate them before seeking publication anywhere. The oldest treaty relating to patents, trademarks, and unfair competition is the Paris Convention for the Protection of Industrial Property. The United States and more than 160 other countries are parties to this treaty. The Paris Convention sets minimum standards of protection and provides two important benefits, the right of national treatment and the right of priority. In a general sense, national treatment means that a Paris Convention country will not discriminate against nationals of another Paris Convention country in granting patent or trademark protection. The rights provided by a foreign country may be greater or less than those provided under U.S. law, but the rights given will be the same as that country provides to its own citizens. The Paris Convention's right of priority provides an established alternative to filing applications in many countries simultaneously. It allows the applicant 1 year from the date of first application filed in a Paris Convention country in which to file in other countries. This means that after first filing, neither publication or sale of an invention will jeopardize patentability in countries that grant a right of priority to U.S. applicants, as long as their application is submitted before the end of the priority period. Not all countries adhere to the Paris Convention, but similar benefits may be available under another treaty or bilateral agreement. These substantive obligations have been incorporated in the World Trade Organization Agreement on Trade-Related Aspects of Intellectual Property Rights and must be adhered to by WTO members. The United States is also a party to the Patent Cooperation Treaty, which provides procedures for filing patent applications in its member countries. The PCT allows you to file one international application that designates member countries in which a patent is sought. Filing the international application extends by 18 months the period in which you may fulfill the national requirements for each country. Additionally, the Hague Agreement concerning the International Deposit of Industrial Designs, also known as the Hague System, allows for registration of up to 100 industrial designs in member countries. You can apply using a single application and in a single language. The U.S. is also a member of the Madrid System for the International Registration of Marks, which allows for filing of trademark protection in member countries. Contact the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office to file a patent, trademark, or design registration application outside the U.S. Both NAFTA and TRIPS establish minimum standards for the protection of intellectual property and the enforcement of those standards. Neither agreement bestows rights on U.S. intellectual property owners. Rather, both agreements ensure that a member state that is party to one or both of the agreements provides a certain level of protection to those individuals or companies protected under that member state's laws. Other free trade agreements involving the U.S. include similar protections, which is another reason to consider FTA countries for inclusion in your export plan. U.S. patent law grants a patent to the first inventor to file a patent application. Patent applications filed before March 16, 2013 will be subject to the old first-to-invent rules. The United States also provides a 1-year grace period that does not preclude an inventor from obtaining protection after an act that would make the invention public, such as publishing, offering for sale, or using the invention. Many countries, including most European countries, lack a grace period that allows an inventor to so disclose an invention before filing a patent application. In countries with an absolute novelty rule, the inventor must file a patent application before making the invention public anywhere. Hence, even the publication of an invention in a U.S. patent grant is a disclosure that can defeat the right to obtain foreign patents unless the applicant is entitled to claim the right of priority under the Paris Convention as described. Unlike the United States, many countries require that an invention be worked locally to retain the benefit of the patent. Working a patent may require commercial-scale manufacture within the country, or it may be met by importation of goods covered by the patent, depending on the law of a particular country. For an invention made in the United States, U.S. law prohibits filing abroad without a foreign filing license from the Patent and Trademark Office, unless 6 months have elapsed since a U.S. application was filed. This prohibition protects against transfer of information that might damage the national security. The penalties for filing abroad without following these requirements range from loss of U.S. patent rights to possible imprisonment. In addition, other export control laws require you to obtain a license before exporting certain technologies, even if no patent application is filed, or they may bar the exporting of certain technologies altogether. Because IP law varies from the country of origin, it's important that you consult a local lawyer. The U.S. Commercial Service, located at embassies and consulates in over 75 countries around the world, maintains lists of qualified legal specialists. A trademark is a word, symbol, name, slogan, or combination thereof that identifies and distinguishes the source of sponsorship of goods. It may serve as an index of quality. Service marks perform the same function for businesses dealing in services rather than goods. For example, an airplane manufacturer might register its service mark. Additionally, the United States provides for protection of a mark, registered or not, if that mark has become well known through domestic or international use. However, in most countries, trademark rights are acquired only through registration, and many countries require local use of the registration mark to maintain the registration. Whether a given mark can be registered in a particular country will depend on the law of that country. For example, some countries do not protect service marks. If your business is expanding, you may face a period of time in which your mark may be known and perhaps registered in the United States, but you're not quite ready to do business abroad. It is prudent to decide early where you will need trademark protection and to protect your rights by filing in those countries. Where to file is a business decision, balancing the expense of registration against its benefit. At a minimum, you will want to file in countries in which you will do business. You may also find it desirable to file in countries that are known sources of counterfeit goods, although some require local use to maintain a registration. Although trademark laws impose no deadlines for registering a mark, a business should register promptly to avoid having its mark registered by someone else. Although you are not legally required to do so, you may find it helpful to investigate the connotation of a trademark, trade name, number, or trade dress before making a major investment in another country. A different language or culture may have unfavorable, silly, or even rude meanings for words or symbols with neutral or favorable connotations in the United States. Even packaging colors may connotate different meanings in different countries. For example, white may imply purity in the United States, but it is the color of mourning in most of the Far East. A copyright protects original works of authorship. In the United States, this protection gives the owner the exclusive right to reproduce the work, to prepare derivative works, to distribute copies, or to perform or display the work publicly. In the United States, original works of authorship include literary, dramatic, musical, artistic, and certain other intellectual works. A computer program, for example, is considered a literary work, protected by copyright in the United States, and in a large and increasing number of foreign countries. In most countries, the place of first publication determines if copyright protection is available. Some countries require certain formalities to maintain copyright protection. Many other countries, particularly member countries of the Berne Union, offer copyright protection without these formalities. Still, others offer little or no protection for the works of foreign nationals. Before publishing a work anywhere, you should investigate the scope of protection available, as well as the specific legal requirements for copyright protection in countries where you desire copyright protection. For more information on intellectual property rights and the Strategy Targeting Organized Piracy Initiative, visit www.stopfakes.gov. A special thanks to the U.S. Commercial Service for the content of this module. This slide will take you to current news headlines on this topic. The links will open in a new browser window. You may have to enable pop-ups in your browser. You can advance through the remainder of the slides by clicking the play button. Global Edge offers a number of resources on this topic. The links will open in a new browser window. You may have to enable pop-ups in your browser. This slide concludes this module.